everybody. Welcome to Blind Like Me one more time. Phil Parr is my name. And it's Monday morning here in Texas. I don't know where it is where you are, but we have this lady we've had before on the show. You may not have heard the show, so we're going to give you a little background. Her name is Deborah Saylor, and hello there. How are you?
Oh, I am absolutely terrific. How about you?
And you are. Every time I talk to you, you're just the happiest girl in the whole USA.
That's right. I have a wonderful wife that I love very, very much.
Have you ever heard that song, The Happiest Girl in the Whole USA?
Oh, yes, and I think it's great.
Donna Fargo, I think, did
that. That's right.
Did that song, and you would qualify. Every time I think of Deborah, I learned of you from Newsreel, and you were just so bright and so happy. I had to call you and do a show with you. Let's give everybody a little background. You were born and raised where now?
In Iowa. Right.
You went to college and got a degree in music.
That's right.
And you finally decided to make the big jump at what age to get away from?
I was 29 when I left home.
When you really left home finally for real.
But I didn't stop communication with my family until I was 38.
Until you were 38. You got yourself a job teaching music at a small college. Now, is it a music college or?
Actually, no. What it is, it's a privately run music school for children and adults. And the students, whether they be a child or an adult, they come to my studio. And there are several different teachers at the school. And the student comes to the studio and they have their lessons. And they go home, and it's just really nice because you don't have to worry about teaching out of your house, which is something I have tried a little bit and don't like it. So I'm really glad that I have my studio. And the nice thing about it is you have to, when you sign up to be a student at this school, you have to pay the tuition for the semester, and then the school pays me.
You were actually hired by the school, and they furnish you a studio in which to teach, right?
That is correct.
And that is much better than, you know, we tried working out of your house, and it's awfully hard to get motivated working from your house.
Right, and then you got to deal with the problem of asking people for money if they forget to pay or, you know, if they forgot their checkbook or whatever. Then you've got to worry about, when am I going to get this money or am I going to get this money?
Yeah, both could be real problems. But and I think you said the other day that you have 40.
Right.
Students.
Actually, I guess it's 39, really, but it's close to 40.
But it varies right around. It's
right.
They kind of keep it right around 40. And you do all of these every week?
Yes, that's correct.
An hour, half hour, or?
I have some that are half hour. Most of them are half hour. I have some that are 45 minutes. I don't have any that are an hour because I do teach a lot of beginners, and I really do enjoy that.
This would be beginners, children, or even some adults
some adult beginners. I have some intermediate children and adults both, but a lot of them are beginners. And I really do enjoy all levels of teaching, whether it be I've done some advanced level teaching, and I enjoy that. But I also enjoy where I'm teaching a child to read EGBDF, the five lines and the spaces.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoy that, too. I just love it all.
Now, of course, you, and I know that there are all kinds of blind people who teach music, and you have to do it all, of course, by hearing. In other words, if you tell them to play a C major scale and they go C, D, and hit an E flat, you know that's because you can just hear that.
That's right.
And so you know, you tell them where to put what finger. And,
that's correct. And I have to feel their hands in order to know if they're doing it correctly, because I have some little kids especially that'll try to sneak a wrong fingering past me.
And you actually put your hand on their hand and watch them go C, D, E, and then make that little tuck under where you use your thumb on F. And because if you don't, you're going to run out of fingers at G.
That's right.
So you have to tuck that finger under and keep on going. with that scale, and you put your hand on their hand and go, no, now that's not what we told you to do. You do it.
That's right.
Do it this way. And I suppose it's like any other job. I suppose you enjoy it more some days than others.
I think that, you know, it's just right up there every day. I just love it every day I go in, and because it's what I've always wanted to do. Now, there, of course, will be days when you think, oh, my goodness, it's going to be a long, hard day today.
Yeah.
But that, you know, doesn't happen very often, because one thing you can set your own hours. You talk to the students and you determine what's a good time for you and for them. And I don't teach before 11 in the morning, so I have my mornings.
Oh, really? What a deal, Deborah. And you, how do you get to the studio? Do you walk?
I walk.
It's close enough that you can actually walk it.
Oh, yes, and I thank God for that every day, because it's so hard for blind people to get transportation.
Yeah.
And my schedule is so different from day to day that it would be hard to line people up for rides. And if you had to take a cab, it would cost an arm and a leg, you know, if you lived far away. So living close enough to walk like this is just absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, because then the only person you're depending on for transportation is you.
That's right.
And so that's good. Now, while you are classically trained, and I suppose vocally also classically trained or not.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
I'm trying to remember. It's been a year since we did first Blind Like Me, but I'm just trying to remember now. Didn't you, because I've had several ladies with a similar experience to yours, did you learn some country music as a kid? Am I getting you confused with somebody?
My dad was a country guitar player and singer, and he liked all the old country, Jimmy Rogers and Ernest Tubb, and that's how I got my start when I was a little baby, practically.
Yeah. trying to accompany your father?
Well, actually, just playing the songs on a little chord organ, you know, and I didn't really try to accompany him. I just played the songs enjoyed that.
we can actually attribute your interest in music to your father when you...
Oh, that's right. That's what I first heard. And
so not only can you play Beethoven, but you can play Jimmy Rogers.
Oh, yes.
That's it. I loved it. I remember thinking what a contrast in music. Now, to the business at hand, you recently went and recorded your first CD.
That is right, yes.
And tell us where you went and a little bit about it.
Well, I went to Louisville, Kentucky, and Roger and Marilyn Smith and their son Jay, they're all blind, and they have a recording studio out of their home.
Mm-hmm.
And they have made some CDs of themselves and I guess some other people too, and the name of their company is Computer Smith Enterprises.
Okay.
And they did this CD for me and produced it and, you know, made all the copies,
mm-hmm.
did everything on the computer.
Yeah,
and
you can do that these days.
It was so much fun. I had such a great time recording it.
But you went and stayed at their house while you
right.
recorded. So
right.
you met Dean, and these are people you had never met before.
I'd
right?
never met them, but I've talked to them
and
just had a great time talking to them on the phone and knew we'd get along great.
I went to school with Marilyn. I didn't know her real well, but I know her and know lots of people she knows. She went to the Texas School for the Blind, I think, didn't she?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And so you went up and made this CD. This is the first time you've ever done anything like this, isn't it?
That's right.
And you're happy with it? You like it?
I love it. I love the job that they did, and I am just so happy with it. I think it turned out very wonderfully.
It did. I haven't listened note for note to everything, but I've sampled every cut, and it did turn out fine. Now, I don't have anybody here. I guess you have the cuts memorized, the order that they're in. I think this first one piano roll blues, or am I?
Well, it starts out like the piano roll blues, but it goes into a song called I Love a Piano.
I Love a Piano. Well, I tell you what, why don't we just have it queued up, why don't we play it, and we'll talk more in just a minute, right?
Wonderful.
hear that song. Well, that's a busy keyboard. When she plays the right chords, I could listen all night long. And when they rang up the blues in a minor key, nothing could be finer to me than the music. I love the music. I love the music of a piano.
Deborah Saylor and I love a piano.
And I certainly do.
Well, the enthusiasm shows through. Did you write that?
No, actually, I got that off of a tape from a friend and fell in love with the song and decided to learn it.
You thought you'd just play it. Now, just for clarification, are you playing a grand piano or is that a digital piano?
That is actually a digital piano. You'd never know it.
You absolutely would not. I have no idea what brand it is, but it's, do you know?
Yes, it's a Kawai.
It is a Kawai digital piano.
Yes.
Well, it sounds as much like a grand as a grand possibly could.
It really does sound good.
It does. I suppose there would be subtle differences, but I think one would be hard-pressed, and you, having played hundreds of pianos in your lifetime, certainly would know the difference, and you think it sounds good.
Oh, yes. I was very pleased with the sound.
Yeah, well, you're lucky that they had that, piano.
Yes.
Do they play, both of them? Does Roger play?
Actually, no. The person who did the piano tracks, I recorded all the piano tracks first, and it was their son, Jay, who did all the track recording on the piano and everything, and he does play.
Well, but, he does. That's why they had a digital piano.
Right.
Well, it turned out very nicely, and I tell you what, let's just take a short break, and we'll come back, and you be thinking about what would be the next song you'd like to play, and we'll just kind of go find it by ourselves and drift into it, all right?
All right.
Deborah Saylor's our guest on Blind Like Me. I'm Phil Parmby, back in just a sec, okay? Thank you.
as a website, our crack research team certifies screen reader friendly. Now, with this week's Blind Sight, here's Tim Cummings.
This week, we're going to take you to Target. You've all heard of Target stores. Some of you may have Target stores in your area. Well, if you want to get to Target on the web, you just go to www.target.com. It's a very accessible site. I've looked at it. The shopping cart and everything looks very accessible. I haven't purchased anything from them, but again, the website is www.target.com. I would give it a screen reader friendliness rating of a 9. And for Blind Sight, this is Tim Cummings saying, keep on blind sighting.
If you found a screen reader friendly website you'd like us to mention, send your email to blindlikeme, all one word, at txucom.net. And join us again next time for Blind Sight.
Well, we're back with the more Blind Like Me. Our guest is Deborah Salas. See how much time? All right, the old Radio Shack watch going. Deborah has a new CD that she went up to Louisville, Kentucky and recorded. And it is out and for sale. And we're going to tell you where you can get a copy if you want one in just a few minutes. But let's play a couple more cuts now. I don't have anything queued, so you'll have to tell me where to go. I mean, not literally, but...
There are three classical piano pieces on here.
Okay.
And just to give the idea of the variety of material that is on this CD, which, by the way, is entitled Meet Deborah Salas. Yeah.
All right.
And so I think the very next cut would be good. This is a classical piano piece entitled Fantasy Impromptu.
All right,
And it's composed by Chopin.
Fantasy what now again?
Fantasy Impromptu.
Fantasy Impromptu. Let's see if we have it ready to go here, Deborah. That is exquisite.
Well, thank you.
To say the least. must have taken 100, yea, thousands of hours to get that angel on an instrument.
It's a lot of practice, that's for sure.
Have to be. You know, you're familiar with Merle Haggard, right?
Oh, yes.
I did an interview with Merle Haggard, and I said, ask him, a friend of mine that had been on the bus with him said that he used to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and walk up and down the aisles playing the fiddle or trying to learn to play the fiddle, teaching himself to play fiddle. Uh-huh. And I said, that's kind of interesting. Why did you do that? And he said, well, you've got thousands of hours to put in, and you might as well get started.
I really like that.
And he was right. You might as well get started, because that's what it takes to become that proficient at guitar, at any instrument, is simply thousands of hours of monotonous
practice. Including scales and arpeggios and all this wonderful stuff.
Yeah, I wish you lived in Texas. I sure could use you from time to time.
Well, I'll tell you, I could certainly see ways to come down there if you
could,
needed
you
someone.
You could be had, huh?
Yes.
You're not free, but you're damn reasonable.
Right. Exactly.
Well, you're a sweetheart, and I love your laugh, and you have a beautiful attitude. And your college is in, I think you said, you're in Huntsville, Alabama, is that right?
Right. In beautiful Huntsville, Alabama is what I like to always say. And there are a couple of songs on this CD that I wrote about Alabama, because I'm very proud to be a resident of Alabama, and particularly Huntsville, because the music and the culture are so wonderful here. There's something going on, not just in the classical field, but in all genres of music. There's the Huntsville Traditional Music Association, which I'm a member of, and they do folk music and traditional music and country and bluegrass and everything like that.
So
and
you get to play some other genres besides classical.
Oh, yes, and yeah. I love it. I love every one of them. Every kind of music has its wonderful, special qualities.
That's true. that's true. I've never listened to classical music, but like listening to that, I heard phrases and little places in there that I thought, well, I've heard that before.
Right.
That's been used on a commercial, or that's been, you know, that's part of a...
Well, in fact, that the middle part of that Fantasy Impromptu is... they took that middle part and wrote, I'm Always Chasing Rainbows.
I was thinking that same thing. I'm always chasing rainbows.
Right.
Da, 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 da. Which, and I thought, no, I've heard that on a commercial. And then, no, that's what it is. I'm always chasing.
That's
you know.
Right.
So you learn all kinds of things with music. And music has to be fun, or it isn't worth doing. It has
that's
to.
Right. And it is so much fun. And that's what I love about my job, too. It's so much fun to watch the students and their progress, and that's what I love about it. It's actually not a college. It's for, you know, everyone. My youngest student is 7 and my oldest is 64.
So these are primarily residents of Huntsville, Alabama.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They just come to that school because it's there, you know, and they want to have a school situation for either themselves or for their children. They like to come to that type of an environment. And I love having them there, and that means I don't have to open up my home to strangers. And
yeah. Did I hear in the background a talking chime?
Oh, yes.
going off and alerting us to the hour. So you have, how many, you have several clocks set in your house that go off on the hour?
I have several clocks that I absolutely love. I have a couple of chime clocks and the talking time, and I love things that go off like that.
I do too, and I spend once a week. I have to synchronize them all because they all my talking time gains time, my watch loses time, my mantle clock, striking clock. It does just depending on its mood. It may lose or gain.
Ah,
it can do either one. So I spend.
That sounds like mine.
I spend one time. Now you say there are some things on this CD that you wrote.
Yes.
Can you direct me to something?
I certainly can.
All right, we're ready for cut 3. Where should we go?
Let's go to cut 5. That one I did some harmony on.
Five.
This is called Have You Ever Been Down in Alabama? And what it is, I took a song, and put different words to it. I heard a song called Have You Ever Been Out to South Dakota? And I liked the tune. And I thought, well, South Dakota? No, I don't think so. But I had been to Alabama, and I fell in love with Huntsville. And so I put some different words to it about Alabama. And the ending, when I wrote, and if I never live in Alabama, you'll hear that at the very end. Uh-huh. And at that time I was thinking, well, one day I will live in Alabama. But I wrote that there just to say, well, it's a beautiful place, even if I never lived there.
Now, you wrote this before you came to Alabama?
Yes.
And that is fortuitous. I mean, that's unusual.
I had been here to visit friends.
Oh, really? Oh, so you knew a little about Alabama.
Yes. And I knew about Huntsville, how much I really enjoyed being in Huntsville. And so.
And you knew that's, you hoped and dreamed that someday that's where you would you would wind up.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, we want to talk with you a little more, but let's see if I have the right cut here, Deborah. Let's try. Is that it?
No, it's the next one.
It's the next one. Well, let's just go on to the next one. This one right here, right? Very good. Doesn't live in Alabama, I'll bet he spends a lot of time there.
Right.
That's pretty amazing. Now, that's three-part harmony, right?
Right.
Had you ever sung with yourself? Had you ever had that experience before?
Well, I did it once. I used to like to take a tape recorder, a couple tape recorders, and record, you know, myself again and again like that, but it never came out like that.
Well, you lose so much quality doing bouncing because you do one and then you dub it to another tape recorder and you lose so much.
Right. I did this song, a friend of mine recorded it, and he had a little better equipment and was able to do it better than I was. And I thought that tape came out wonderfully too.
Yeah.
But, you know, that I didn't sing with myself as much as I, you know, maybe even would like to sometimes.
Yeah, because
it's fun.
Well, I never will forget the first time I did it. The first time I had a multi-track machine, was able to put the headphones on and hear the first part, and it's just a thrill. I mean, it does something. It's just like magic. Of course, with multi-track now, you can do as many tracks as you want to, and no loss, no anything. This digital age is wonderful.
It's pretty amazing.
Let's talk a little bit about how did you get this job? How did you come by this position you have?
I was visiting here in Huntsville. Well, I'll go back a little further than that even. My friend Tim Hendel lives here in Huntsville, and I used to visit him and some other friends that I have down here. Well, Tim used to record all these interviews on our public radio station here in Huntsville. When there's a concert coming up, they'll often have the person giving the concert or someone who's promoting the concert on the radio talking about the concert and promoting it over the air.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim used to record those interviews for me because he knew how much I loved the music scene in Huntsville. And he happened to record one day the head of the school here in Huntsville, Ars Nova School of the Arts is the name of the school, and the head of the school was on there along with one of the performers of an opera that they were doing at the school. And they were talking about the opera, and she was talking about what they teach at the school and different aspects of the school. And Tim sent me that interview, and I listened to it and loved it and wished I was going to be there for that particular performance, like I always wished I was going to be there.
Yeah.
And, well, I love to study voice with different teachers, have a lesson with a teacher and see what their technique is and discuss voice technique with them. Well, the head of the Ars Nova school is a voice teacher, and I knew her a little bit from having given a concert in Huntsville. She heard me sing, so I knew her a little bit, and I thought Tim said, why don't you call her up and schedule a voice lesson with her for the next time you'll be in town, which was Christmas of 2002. And so I said, yeah, that would be a great idea. And so I did, and Tim said, well, while you're at it, why don't you ask her about maybe could you get a job at Ars Nova? So I did, and I thought, bingo, there's my ticket to Huntsville. I'm going to get a job at that school, and I'll be able to live right where I want to be. I was tired of the cold and snow of Omaha, where I was living at that time, working as a reservation agent for Marriott Hotels, and I was so tired of the winters, and I thought, I've got to get to where it's warm and no snow. And So I asked about a job when I was with this lady, and she said, well, send your resume. It sounds like a wonderful thing. We'd love to consider having you and send us your resume. So I did, and a week later I found out I had a job. I was so excited. I'm surprised people didn't hear the whoa all the way across the country. I was so excited.
But you already had a job that lots of blind people would consider really good.
Oh yes, but well, it was a job that paid the rent to me, and I always had dreamed of getting back into music and living in Huntsville, actually, because I needed to be where I wanted to be. I mean, it just, the Midwest wasn't cutting it for me.
I can understand that. And this lady, during this voice lesson, did she hear you play? Obviously, she heard you sing.
Well, at the concert where she heard me sing, I had also played, so she did know that I could teach piano and voice.
How many music teachers are there at Ars Nova?
Well, right now, I think there are 3 voice teachers and 3 piano teachers, and they also teach violin, and they just are in the process, I think next semester, they're going to start a woodwind program.
Okay.
And so it's a small school, but it's expanding. They're talking about getting another space in the building where they're at right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about expanding and hiring more teachers. So,
yeah.
I guess the number of students is getting to be quite nice.
All right. Why don't we take a break, and maybe we'll have time to do a couple of more songs from your CD and tell people where this CD can be purchased and a little more about it. Back with more of our Blind Like Me show with Deborah Saylor in just a second. Handyman list serve.
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman list, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the handyman list, and it worked.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman list, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman list, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. Get out of line, stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Hello there. Welcome back to Blind Like Me. Deborah Saylor is our guest. She's been on before about a year ago and told her life story. It's quite interesting. You might go back and look at that particular show. I'd have no idea what number it was, but it'll be up to you to do the homework and find it. And Deborah is in Huntsville, Alabama, and just darn glad to be there. I'll tell you that.
Right.
You ought to give that song to the Chamber of Commerce. Maybe they'd use it as a theme, as some sort of a promotional thing.
Well, I certainly do love it, and there is another Alabama song on the CD.
Did you want to go find that?
Well, actually, we could, or we could do something more traditional. I have a couple songs from The Sound of Music. I have I Believe. I have I Love Life. There's this mm-hmm. And two more classical piano pieces. There's Claire de Lune by Debussy, and my own piano transcription of Johann Strauss's Tales from the Vienna Woods.
Now, how many songs total are on here?
15.
15 songs.
One that I want to be sure to play is the very last one.
All right.
It's called I've Got It All, and that's another one that I have written. It's about how my life was empty and now how I've got it all.
Now you've got it all. All right. Where do you want to go now? We're at cut five, I think, and we could move forward
let's go to cut 13, I believe it
six,
is. Climb
seven,
every mountain.
8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Let's
it's
see how
real
well.
Real popular. I get lots of requests for
see how well
every
I can
mountain.
See how well I can count. Listen a little bit here.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Good. Here's Deborah Saylor.
Every path you know.
Some high notes there, aren't there, huh?
Oh, yes.
There really are. He had to do some compression or work with the levels on your voice to get it just right. I do a little bit about that recording stuff, and so he had to work to get to all the levels just right on your voice, and
yeah.
did a very nice job also.
Oh, well, thank you.
You need to find out what kind of digital piano that is. For me, I might want one.
The model number, you mean?
Yeah, the model number.
Oh,
I'd call them and ask them, but of course they wouldn't call me back.
I can certainly find out.
Okay, would you do this for me?
Oh, absolutely.
So do you suppose these people at Ars Nova had met Tim Hendel?
Oh, no. They had not met him. They didn't even know about him until... some people know him now, and some people don't. I mean,
yeah. It's
just they had not known him before I came along.
Oh, so they hadn't known any other blind people. Did blindness come up? I mean, was it discussed?
Just I could teach blind people Braille music if there were any blind students that wanted to learn. But it didn't seem to be a problem at all for them in hiring me. They just knew that... I could do it. I mean, they just trusted my professionalism, I guess.
They accepted the fact that you were good, a good piano player, and that you seemed to have a grasp of the world, and that you your blindness did not affect you. You know, a lot of blind people are affected by their blindness. They let it become the number one thing about them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's you know, I told this guy I met the other day, I'll sure be glad when my blindness is not the most important thing about me. You know, I'd be glad when you get past trying to say, look out, there's a wall there. Well, hell, I know there's a wall there. I built this house, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You had no issues like that at this?
Oh, no, not at all. In fact, one time, I guess a couple of the teachers were discussing, you know, that they had hired me and that I found a place really close by and that I could walk. And I guess one of them said, oh, well, then she'll save so much on gas money. And then she thought, well, she wouldn't be driving a car anyway.
No, she wouldn't. She'd be.
And they just laughed, I guess, you know, because they didn't even think about me being blind.
But actually, so you go to this building where this college is every day, and there are just studios there. Is there a common room, or is there a...
There's a waiting area for the parents while the kids are in their lessons. They can wait there, and there are magazines out there, and they can just sit and wait.
And your room is off of the main room?
Right.
And so you have a student in there, and you keeping time with your watch, and it's all right, Johnny. That's all the time we have for this week. And so he gets up and leaves,
right.
And you go to the door and say, you have a little calendar that you look. You know who the next student is.
Well, at first I had everything written down, but I have it all memorized now.
So you had it all in Braille or on a computer or?
Right, I actually had a Braille list of everyone and what their times were.
And you would look at the next one and you'd simply go to the door and say, is Mr. Thompson ready?
Right.
And he would say, yes, ma'am, I'm coming in.
Then he'd come right on
all
in.
Right. Now, in your studio, in your teaching room, you call it your studio, right?
Right.
What is in there? What is the physical? Give us some physical idea. Do you have a grand piano in there or just an upright?
Actually, it's a studio upright.
Okay.
And then there are some chairs in there and a couch.
Uh-huh.
And I also have a bookcase where I keep all my Braille music books. I follow along with everybody with the Braille music. They have regular music, print music, and I follow what they're doing in Braille.
And you, with your hands, you're reading the piece that they're playing.
Right.
But would you need to do that, or do you know it all well enough to you really?
Well, some of it I have memorized, but there are some other more difficult pieces that I need to follow the music because I want to point out dynamic markings or phrase marks or things like that.
Mm-hmm. And so they're sitting at the piano, and you're sitting beside them,
right?
In a chair, and. and talking with them. Have any of the students ever commented on your blindness? Ever?
Some of the younger ones want to see the Braille book, you know.
Oh, yeah, because they've never seen a Braille music
right.
book.
But other than that, it never comes up. It's wonderful.
Yeah, there's no reason for it to come up. I mean, I'm just asking to give someone who might end up in the same situation just kind of an overview of what... And you've been there now 3 years, almost 3 years now, right?
Right. I started in June of 2003.
So oh, 2 years and 2 years and 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, sounds like you're well adjusted. Sounds like it's. Do you? How much do you have interaction? Do you see other members of the faculty every day?
Oh yes. And we sometimes go out to dinner and plan different. Oh, like the summer program for piano. We got mm-hmm. together and planned that, and just. It's wonderful.
It sounds like it is. I've never met anybody who was happier with their job and what they were doing than you. It's just amazing. All right, let's do another song. We're about 49 minutes into the show. Maybe we should play this this last thing. That's going to be we're on cut what 13.
Right, and so you want to go to cut 15. This is called "I've Got It All," and another man wrote the melody to the song and put words to it that were different, but I fell in love with the melody and decided that I said to my friend Tim one day, I said, you know, I'm so happy. I said, there should be a song called "I've Got It All." And he said, well, why don't you write one?
Yeah, why don't you write one?
So I did, and I just really wanted to put words to it that said how my life had been mm-hmm. empty, but then I took a little baby step, and then I walked, and then I ran to the place where I have it all.
And you had to keep taking those steps in order to get where you wanted to be.
That's absolutely right.
Let's see if we've got the right cut, and if we do, well, we'll play it. Deborah Sailor, and I've Got It All?
Yes.
Is that it?
That's it.
Thank you. Here's Deborah Sailor.
I thought my life was empty and my dreams would not come true. I did all the things I wanted, but I did not know what to do. Then I took one tiny step, just like a baby that learns to crawl. I learned to walk, I learned to run to the place where I've got it all. I raise my voice in celebration to things on earth and things above. I am a child of creation, filled with universal love. And every day when I awake, through afternoon until nightfall, I give thanks for you.
Deborah Saylor. The CD is called Meet Deborah Saylor. Tell us where you could get a copy of that if you want one.
Well, I'm distributing it myself, so they can call me. My telephone number is area code 256-880-8919. The cost is $12 a piece or two for $20.
All right. Yeah, now, that's how you want to be contacted, is by telephone.
Right. And okay, if I'm not home, just leave a message and I will call you back.
Good. Give me the phone number one more time and we'll close out, all right?
Okay. It's area code 256-880-8919.
Well, we'll say goodbye on this Blind Like Me show to the happiest girl in the whole USA. Thank you.
Your
attitude is infectious, and I'll let you know when this runs, Deborah.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We'll see you next week on Blind Like Me.